bring a crew up?
Well, we had...
Arthur Brown.
Arthur Brown. He was from Kentucky, or was it Tennessee, I forgot. Right in that area anyway. And he would come up with his wife and kids, and he would bring a crew. He was the crew leader. And he would get all these colored people. He was colored. And he'd turn around and run the crew, and we'd pay him, and Ed would, and I would too, when I got there. Mm-hmm. And they'd pick the fruit, hand picking, before we got any shakers or anything.
Did you use little tickets, or how did you?
Tickets, yeah. We had some of our tickets. That's the way we did it. And into cherry lugs, of course, mm-hmm. not cherry tanks or anything.
Did you house them then also?
Well, this is where we built that one house, which is next, an addition on the back of the chicken coop for those people. Mm-hmm. That was, they could live and be underneath it. His wife would feed the people, or all of them would be men. Mm-hmm. Wasn't any women that I remember when he had a crew in there. And we ended up on one time above our potato storage. We had this room and put steel bunks we got in there. I did from the air station in Traverse, bunk beds from the service, to have places for them to sleep. And we had about 60 people in there at one time. That worked for us. But he went that way, and he got old, grounded, and then when we went to Florida, you know, this late down to him many years ago, we'd stop and visit him. Mm-hmm. He was a real nice guy, and he had these kids that from babies on up and grew up, and one is the dean of the university at St. Louis, down there, Charleston, mm-hmm. whatever it is, mm-hmm. and one of them is the head of the railroad down in the Eastern Railroad Company out of Florida, and we've met and seen all these people. We used to go and see them.
Yeah.
It was quite a guy.
So you had a pretty good working relationship.
Oh, yeah. All the help. We did have problems with the colored.
Well, you know, if they wanted milk, they got milk. We would sell them quarts of milk. If they wanted eggs, mother would sell them eggs. If they wanted a chicken, we'd give them a chicken. And then they would go and pick greens in the orchards, mustard greens and things. And one year when Mr. Brown came, he was always Mr. Brown. He said, "I'm not Mr. Brown this year. I am Deacon Brown." Mm-hmm. he was a very honest person.
And when they couldn't come anymore, we ended up in New Mexicans.
So how'd you contract with that labor?
Well, I don't remember how we got them to get them started, but we had shakers when we got into mechanical harvesting. Why then, this one family, the Hernandez family, came, and them two came when Lane and I were, you know, farming there, and they would hand pick for the sweet cherries and the little trees and all this stuff, and help whenever they needed it. Mm-hmm. And their family they had 11 children, and we've seen them all grow up, and we still, Christmas cards, and they're from Texas, and we've been down there one time and visited the family. But their children have all improved. I don't know, one of them, they've all had college, mm-hmm. one's ahead of them. Kmart down there and all these things, so they've done all right. So, but now we still have Mexicans, and we've got the new quarters and we keep them in and so forth.
So that's a new building we haven't talked about. When did you build the new quarters? Did you build them or did Gary do them?
Gary did.
Okay. Well, then we'll wait and talk about to Gary about that, because we still got a lot of stuff to go over with you. I'll make a note, Gary, new quarters. Okay. When you were paying like Starner and all those people, what kind of, did you give them a wage or you give them?
I don't know.
Well, I can remember back, it was like a dollar and a half a day plus your noon meal or something.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it increased as the years went by. But
and
way back.
Went home every night.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like Jacob Daniels ate with us many a day,
mm-hmm.
many a meal. And he just loved our old dog, Bill. And then we had Duncan, and he loved those. He loved animals. He thought it was so much fun. He came in the house one day, and the dog crawled up on a couch that we had there, and so he went and covered him with a blanket. He thought that was so much fun.
Did you bring in other people, like, to harvest potatoes?
Well, the school children came to pick.
And how did you pay them?
By the bushel. So much a bushel. I can't remember what it was.
5 cents or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Wasn't much.
Florence Haynes down here on the corner, she picked potatoes for us, I remember. There was quite a crew.
Well, we talked about, well, Mr. Popa came in and built your barn, but, so you didn't have a barn raising for that, or do you?
Yeah.
We did have a barn raising. You remember that?
I barely remember it, because this was like 1929 or 30.
Yeah.
I was just a kid, but I remember him being there and all the lots of people framing it and how it was, whether they were from Cedar or that part of the barn raising crew and the local people that helped, because
mm-hmm.
they had to be a lot of people to build it.
Mm-hmm.
And the shingling, I remember, like I said, crawling up on the roof there.
You and Dad do it, or was that again in part of a whole bunch of people?
A whole bunch of people, I'm sure, because they didn't just do this. You know, it'd be too much of a job for one person to do.
Oh, yes.
Where'd the shingles come from?
I don't remember. They had a shingle mill in Northport making shingles. The only thing I remember about roofs was this was later years that we had Walt Lackey, which is what's her name? Haynes's.
Florence Haynes's father.
Father was a carpenter. Came out and put a roof on the house out there. I remember that when he was there, the ladders up and framing and put the roof on, and he got paid a dollar a day in the meals.
What other farm-related tasks and our equipment were shared by the farmers that lived around each other?
The thrashing. Was a neighborhood thing, and the silo filling.
So who owned the thrashing equipment?
There were three rigs, I think. Bomager's had a rig.
Kulchick's
had a rig. And
Rudy Marsh did.
And Rudy Marsh had a rig, but then wasn't there...
from Mork? They had one? Or something, anyway.
On the top of the hill there, before you get to the Indian Church, Podden Johnson,
Johnson.
That had a rig too. There were three or four rigs, and they would say, well, which rig can come to our neighborhood this year? We'll get him. And he would start at one farm and just go around, and then each farmer would help the other farmer. They all worked together.
So it's always the kind of like same unit of farmers.
Right.
Yeah, so be from this area, wherever he started and went, this whole bunch would work together.
So it would be the same, was it usually the same people every year, or did
yes.
that change?
Well, it might change some, but,
not much.
So it would be who?
Clausen's,
Garthy's,
Wagbo's, Nelson's.
What's her name down there?
The Thomas's.
And
it was basically, and Dalziel's, it was basically the same
area out west here, this circle around here.
So it would be both guys with Steiner's family and the other one, both two farms?
Yes,
no.
Steiner's, they didn't have a silo, did they? So that you didn't.
They would thrash.
But they would thrash, yeah.
So when it came to silo
filling, we had a silo filler, and Garthy's had a silo filler, Seth Garthy. We would take our silo filler to the different
rounds,
different
usually.
Places. We would go with the silo filler, and we had a tractor that would run the silo filler. And then, first, it was all cutting by hand. loading the wagons, mm-hmm. the teams of the wagons. Well, then when we got to where they could have a tractor pull a wagon, they did that. And at that time, then I bought a silage corn cutter. And I'd go to all these farms and cut the corn, and it would tie it in a bundle and drop them in windrows, I would. So I would do the neighborhood all the way around with a corn cutter for a number of years, I did. Hmm. And then we went to from loose hay to hay balers, and I had a hay baler and bought that, and I'd run around the neighborhood and bale hay.
So how did that deal? They paid you to come and do that,
yeah,
then?
Yeah, they'd pay me for that, or they would. We would, as far as the silo filling, we all would trade on the labor and the hauling and all that. But they would pay me for, like, cutting the corn, because then they didn't have to have 6-8 people cutting corn while they were loading a wagon.
What did they cut it with by hand?
With a corn knife.
Corn knife.
You go down the road and cut about 8-10 until you got an arm full, and go over and throw it to the guy on the wagon. And each guy had a roll, go right on down. Or else, I think the way we used to do it, when we square planted them, we'd go back in like 6 rows or 8 rows or something, cut to the wagon, and then you'd keep going around each other like that, cutting. Mm-hmm. That's the way we did it, rather than take a straight row.
Yeah.
And before they could start, though, they usually, the farmer would cut a swath around the field so that you could go with a wagon.
Mm.
Otherwise, you were right up against the fence.
Yeah.
Thrashing, usually you had all a bundle of the, you know, we had a binder. It was different people that had their own binders for grain, cutting the grain. I don't remember if we did for other people, we probably might have. For
I don't think so.
There, I can't remember.
So you fed them at noon, though?
Either noon and sometimes at night if they worked late. And each wife, you know, took her turn.
Feed them in the house, or did you feed them outside?
Yeah, we fed them in the house, but you had some tubs of water outside and towels where they could wash up before they came in. And Mother would always say to Dad, "Now, what did you have to eat at her house? Because when they come to my house, I wanted to have something different." And Dad was a great one. He'd always say to Mother, "Oh, meat and potatoes." So she never learned much about what they ate.
He was pretty succinct.
I don't think it mattered to him, really. Just so it went down.
But what kind of pie? So what would be a typical thing that she would feed the harvesters?
Well, you usually either had chicken, or you had roast beef, or you had some type of meat, and then a lot of mashed potatoes and gravy and vegetable. And
maybe squash.
And squash or something, and pie.
Dessert, pie.
Yeah.
But I remember.
You really cooked, because there might have been.
How many?
12, 15 or more.
Yeah. We had, and that must have been silo filling, it'd have to be. That we used to tell about that, I think it was Oscar Peterson, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That helped one time. Anyway. She had a whole bowl of sliced tomatoes on to go to everybody. Came to him, he sat it down, he ate the whole thing, never passed anything.
He loved them.
Well, it was quite the day when all the thrashers came to eat anyway, because you cooked and cooked. And same way with the silo fillers. Wasn't as many to eat at mm-hmm. silo filling as it was thrashing, because you had the crew of the thrashing rig too, you know.
But that'd be an all-day affair, unless you didn't have a lot. For us, it'd take about a day, and you'd go to the next farm.
So they'd be doing this like a couple of weeks then.
Hope you had good weather.
Mm-hmm. There was lumber on the farm, and you used some of the lumber on the farm for barn building, like beams.
And then the house, that house and this house, this floor and everything that's in there came out of our woodlots.
Maple.
And they were cut and then on a sawmill and turned around, and we stacked them and air dried them. And I remember, like this one here, I think, was it this one that came from Arcadia or from, I think this here might have been over at Greeley. We helped, because I was involved in this, that we hauled the lumber over there and they made the flooring.
Mm-hmm. So where did you air dry it though? Just outside or?
Stacking it.
Just sticked it?
And we hauled logs over to Bass Lake. Priest had a mill there.
That we saw.
And
where was their mill? Where Kalchick's was? Or
well, you know where.
Oh, different Bass Lake. Not the Bass Lake at Omena, but one up here.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Omena Bass Lake.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to explain. There's a road that comes down past Kalchick's Lake from that hits on the main road they rebuilt that goes to Omena.
Yeah, Sweet Road.
That Sweet Road there.
Yeah.
You go west, just past the swamp, and it's the first building on the south, that farm in there. Well, what's his name? Has his orchards there now. Up. He has this fruit stand there. Pop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, east of Pop is a building down in there, and there's a field down in there, and there was a mill there, and that belonged to Priest. I don't know who has
it. Oh, it's way back in
off the road.
Away.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I've seen that. Wondered what it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that was a sawmill.
Okay. Who operated again?
The name was Priest.
Okay. Priest.
And
from
we'd go over
Lake
there
Leona.
And we'd help them saw.
Yeah.
Well, they lived right there.
Yeah. There's Priest's family in Leland and likely too. Okay. On the farm itself, you know, you talk about things where. Did you have pasture for the cows? Did you milk cows go out?
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
There's like cow pastures?
Run them across the road and into the woodlot. And from there down to fields that would go clean down where Basil's is down there. We had a well down there, a pump that we used to pump in a tank for water for them when they pasture during the day.
And you always hoped you could get down there and get on that platform where they pumped. And you had to prime the pump, and you always hoped you'd get down there and get some water in that trough before that cow came over the hill, because they had horns in those days.
Oh. And they wanted some water, huh?
Yes, and they were thirsty.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay, so is there any other paths that were on the farm?
Well, there were all the cow paths in the barn, in the woods there, and went up to the different fields, and... As children, we used to cut across to the west and over to the bluffs where we would go down the bluff to go swimming, and we kind of wasn't really a path, but
it was a road, logging trail through the woods.
But we've had the same route every day or so.
So to go back, that was one job you guys had to do, was go get the cows.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. There were bars up on the hill there, and one of us would go and open the bars, and another one stayed down below to head them into the barnyard.
Mm-hmm. And run down the road, see.
And we had Bill the dog, and one time we were talking about we had to go and get the cows, and they were way over on the hill. And we wondered, where is he? Oh, he was already over there getting them.
Was he specifically trained, or he just learned it?
He learned it.
We'll go on, keep talking here just a little bit. Are there any gravestones or abandoned logging roads on that farm or anything? Did they build any hedgerows? Were there any hedgerows?
No.
Okay.
We had a road up through the woods back of the barn where we could get up to a field back there, and we'd haul hay down through that.
Okay. Was your family involved in the Grange?
Yes.
What,
Dad
what
was the master of the Grange in Northport. And I don't know what chapter it was or anything, but...
There was just one in Northport.
Yeah, and they used to go sometimes way to Lake Anne to install officers and things. And Dad was an odd fellow. There was a big odd fellow hall, which is now the post office in Northport.
So what activities do you remember being associated with the Grange?
They would have meetings and parties and things.
Where did Where do you remember your father getting information about farming?
Well, he used to get Successful Farming and the Michigan Farmer magazines. Mm-hmm. He went to Ferris Institute for a short course at one time. That was before he was married. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he studied there, really, but...
Was he ever involved in, after the war, SCS, or the Soil Conservation District? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. He was involved with the conservation districts. I can't remember really too much about that. But, and of course, he was with the REA, and he was on the board of directors over with Northwest Michigan Power Co-op over at Boyne City. Mm-hmm. They would mm-hmm. go for meetings. And drove the school bus and was on the school board. After he got done driving school bus, he was on the school board. Mm-hmm. And I drove the bus for a couple of years, and then George drove it after that.
We're talking about the Grange?
Yeah, they were active in the Grange. Yeah. We went for a while, too. Yeah. I don't know what happened, why it all of a sudden
dissolved. People didn't come anymore, I guess.
Yeah, the other question that Norma was, had told what she remembered of it was how your father got information about farming.
I really don't know.
Whether he remembered new techniques or...
Well, I don't know
products.
If there was something like a county agent or anything that way.
Yeah.
They worked in that, and then he was on the Soil District Board for a number of years. Both of us, I was on the two. That would have been the only way I know.
Yeah. What changes did the Soil District bring?
Oh, well, conservation.
Information.
Yeah.
How did you change what you were doing, or do you remember you changed
well,
as
like
a result
my
of that?
Well, fruit orchard, the sweet orchard I put it all on the contour. And so the roads weren't up and down the hills and all that stuff, and planted pine trees and windbreaks.
Don't you think... Your father ever did contour farming just kind of intuitively? No, just didn't matter. He
up and down the hills, across the slope, try to make it, you know, rather than up and down. But, no, it was...
Because it seems to me it makes so much sense that it would be kind of intuitive on some people's...
Well, you'd go across
the
field, but now, like, where we had the potatoes over there above Powell's, it was... The longest row was from the woodlot across, and that's been your half a mile, I guess, all the way down. And they were on the level on top and then down the hill. And went up and down the hills rather than crossways. See, now we have everything crossways so that they don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you were starting your career again, would you have done it? Would you have stayed on the farm?
I suppose. I don't know.
What do you think?
Should have stayed in the service for another 8 years, and then I could have retired and had an income, see?
Right. Do you think... Well, I'm wondering, what am I going to say this? Was it a good life for you, a good career for you?
Oh, yeah, you're your own boss. Going to work hard, because I know when I was, when we were first going on the farm and I got into all these other things like driving the school bus, we had cows. I'd get up 5 o'clock in the morning and milk the cows, come in and have lunch or breakfast, go down to drive the school bus before 7 and drive the route all the way out to the lighthouse and back with the kids, come back into the school, and that would be by 8:30, and then I'd turn around and go right to work for Harry Calhoun. That's what I did for 3 years running, and would either do construction work, working on houses. He built houses and had this you know, excavating work besides. I'd either drive truck or tractors or help with the carpenter work or put roofing on or whatever it was, and I'd take my lunch with me. And then at 3:30, I'd quit and go and drive school bus. Mm-hmm. And once I got back home about 4:30 or whatever it was, I'd turn around and maybe do a little bit of farming before I'd start to milk cows. But after I'd milk cows and had supper, then I'd go and spray orchard at night. Or depended on how it would work out. But this is, I didn't have any help as far as on the farm. But when we had the orchards and the cattle and all this stuff, it'd keep me going. But the only way, because it was 3 years running that the farm lost money. Because I was putting in more orchards and I didn't have that, and didn't have the cattle then. When I didn't have them to take care of, well, then that's when I.
So when about was that time in the history,
well,
of the farm?
It would be in the 60s, because when I got to be county treasurer in 68, that's when I quit working for Calhoun. So it was the 3 years before that. Had to have something to put bread on the table.
We both, now in retrospect, are you got you too glad that you were raised on a farm?
Oh yeah.
What benefits do you think it has given you in your life?
You learn a lot of things.
Freedom.
How to work hard?
Work hard and how to figure things out and how to be self-sufficient.
Like I always used to say, work never killed anybody.
Some people say, oh, you're one of them Fredricksons.
So you're pleased that Gary wanted to continue?
Well, Gary didn't want to start out with, you know, on the farm. He didn't help me all that much because he went and worked for Basil Stove when he was in high school, and afterwards down at the garage in town. He didn't work on the farm. And then we put him to school, to ITT in St. Louis for a year after school. And then he come back and went in the Coast Guard in the service. So he really had done a lot on the farming, but then him and Carol got married out east and come home, and I said, what are you going to do? What do you want to do? Well, he'd work on the farm with me. So he started to work with me on the farm, and I took Gary in then as a partner.
What year was that?
How many years that was? This was, how many years ago is it that, since Gary got married? You got it in the book there. I can't remember the dates, but 22 years ago, whatever that comes out to be. And so
they were married in 74.
So he was, and that was in December, so he was back in 75. And I don't know, it must have been at least 5 years, that, or maybe longer than that. Then once he got started, I said, I'll take you in as a partnership. So we worked the farm as a partnership, and I gave him one half of all the net income, although I had owned everything. And that way he got him in, and then when we bought equipment, it was half his and half mine, you know, so he got equity in the farm that way. And I don't remember what year it was that we farmed for quite a few years. A partnership and did more things, and then I said, well, if you want the farm, I can let you get it the same way as I've got it from my dad.
Which was how?
Which was, I bought it on a land contract in 1950 or 51, whatever it was. And land contract, I pay my dad and my mother, you know, on the contract. And the interest was all I wanted. Eat off the farm.
Wow, what a gift. You learned it though.
So, and that's the way it is with Gary. If the farm makes money, he makes a principal payment on the contract. If not, I get the interest. That's all I get. Mm-hmm. very seldom. It's only been once or twice since he's had the farm that he's paid me any wages. Mm. All the work I do is with gratis. So we live on our Social Security. Mm. We don't do anything great. But if the farm makes money, then we got a little extra. Why put it aside?
What do you think the future of farming is in Elyon County?
Oh, it'll stay here as a fruit-growing area. You know, that way, I think the fruit, some of this is going to have to pick up or be better than what it was. It isn't going to be die by the wayside if we can just keep all these hilltop people from buying all the farms. This is where the rub comes in, is the cost of the farming nowadays. And people that sell their farms just can't afford to keep them anymore, or they can't get anybody to farm them, and they get a hold of them. So that's what's going to hurt, has hurt this county, and is going to continue to hurt it as a fruit-growing area.
Well, we've covered a lot of territory today, so we're almost to the end, so I think it's time to give our voices a break, and we'll have to work on some maps to get some of the stuff you taught me. I think it's better transmuted that way, but I would like to thank you both for